Thomas writes, "Hi Roy, I believe that his wife should receive all or at least a portion of his pension. She is also a victim and should not be punished for his actions." And Tom writes, "I believe his wife and family, Williams, if any, should get the pension to live on, only as they are victims here, also of a different sort, but for sure he should not get a cent. As for the death penalty, both he and Olson should be done away with. I and my wife had a small dog. He is gone now. If he'd have bitten someone after they had agitated him even on his property, we would probably have had to put him down, yet we take care of these monsters and give the all the great things in life other than that freedom. Something is wrong here. They are worse than animals. They should be put down." Not going to disagree with you, Tom. "But then I'm not as well informed as those who understand that the death penalty is somehow inappropriate. RoyGreenshow.com is my blog. RoyGreenshow.com. And the most recent posting, as I said, is about Russell Williams and the death penalty. And if you'll go there, read it, post your comments, we'd appreciate it. Joe Warmington will join us from the Toronto Sun in a few minutes' time. Joe wrote a column on Williams and his arrival at Kingston Prison. Interesting greeting. Joe will talk about that in a few minutes' time. Now, prison is a breeding ground for terrorists. And a report by Dr. Alex Wilner of the Center for Security Studies at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology makes that case. Dr. Wilner provides advice to Canada on how to reduce the likelihood prisoners in Canadian jails may be seduced into becoming terrorists, as Richard Reed, also known as the shoe bomber, in the UK was seduced. And Dr. Alex Wilner joins us on the Roy Green Show on the Corus Radio Network from Zurich, Switzerland, where it's 10:30 in the evening. Alex, thank you for making time for us so late in the day for you.
Thanks, Roy. Thanks for having me on.
So let's just get to the fundamentals and explain to us how it is that prisons become breeding grounds for terrorists or potential terrorists. What's going on?
Right. I think we need to realize that counterterrorism doesn't end with foiling plots, arresting individuals, and incarcerating them. But it's what happens behind bars that we need to worry about in some cases. So cases from, you mentioned Richard Reed, but there's many other anecdotal cases, mostly from European prison systems and the American prison system, suggest that some terrorists, some hardcore radicals, see prison not as a punishment, but as an opportunity to continue fostering their ideals towards going and recruiting other inmates from the general prison population, and to continue coordinating acts of terrorism outside of prison. And so I think Canada needs to take stock of this trend, especially now that we've started incarcerating our own homegrown terrorists.
Now, you said you can imprison one and release three.
Right. I think what happens is that some prisoners may be susceptible to the ideologies that legitimize violence. Islamist terrorism is an ideology and an act that some individuals may find attractive. And we need to certainly find ways to isolate those ideologies within the prison system and ensure that we don't make the problem worse by putting some of these individuals behind bars. Again, in the European Union, in France, in the UK, there are several hundred individuals in prison on terrorism-related offenses. Canada is in this unique position because we've only just begun incarcerating our own homegrown terrorists. We've had 14 convictions in the last 2 years, which is minuscule compared to some of the trends overseas. And so we can learn from the lessons and the successes and the failures of our allies to address the problem here before it becomes a major security issue.
Well, Alex, Richard Reed was a, if I recall correctly, he was a relatively small-time thief, crook, criminal,
right,
who was seduced, if you will, by the notion of becoming a terrorist. But there's also the reality of prison conditions and prison life currently favoring the creation of possible terrorists, because inmates, maybe like a Richard Reed or a relatively small-time crook or thief or criminal, may seek protection and join prison gangs, which can have any number of agendas.
Right. I mean, prisons are pretty scary places. And again, from the United Kingdom, trends of prison gang violence show that some Islamists, convicted terrorists, are able to take over some of these prison gangs and give them a more ideologically driven agenda. And then they go about recruiting other individuals from the general prison population that may be susceptible, and they use the kind of gang nuances, including protection from other rival gangs. But at the same time, they use the social interaction to indoctrinate these individuals with particularly violent ideologies, so that when these individuals are released, they become a problem for society, and they may be especially susceptible to recruitment and terrorist participation outside of prison. So certainly getting ahead of these gang-related issues is something we should think about.
So what are the recommendations, then, that you're making to change prison realities in this country to combat the creation of terrorists?
I think the first thing we need to do is produce a prison guide on radicalization that lists the indicators of radicalization within our prison system. A number of European states have done so very recently. I think we can learn from that lesson and produce our own prison guide for internal use. It doesn't have to be a publicly available document. It could be an internal document. But it will give the prison staff, especially frontline staff, an opportunity to gauge developments that may seem problematic, and then to certainly keep track of the relationships that certain individuals, especially terrorist convicts, are making within prison. If we don't know what we're looking for, we won't be able to combat it. I think a related recommendation is to establish a small extremism unit within Correctional Services Canada or another government agency. This would be a small group of individuals whose task is to keep track of the individuals we incarcerate for terrorism and to gauge their relationships, their rehabilitation, and then to offer policymakers and decision makers advice if there are certain worrisome developments taking place. So both a manual and an extremism unit might be something Canada should consider.
Alex, do you sense that there is a political appetite to do the kinds of things that you're suggesting? Because it just sounds so common sense. And if there are examples, and again you point out there are, of international terrorists being created by being, I'll use the word seduced, in the prison environment in the countries they were in already. I mean, these examples exist. Do you think that there is the kind of commitment, or do you think there's an appetite in this country to do what you're suggesting?
I think there has to be, Roy. I mean, I think there is. I think Canadians...
I guess what I'm doing here is raising the specter of political correctness. Or somebody might say, well, we can't really do that because that's the inference is that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I think counterterrorism, though, is really about finding the proper balance between safeguarding freedoms and rights, whether they're social, political, religious, and dealing with legitimate security concerns that we face. And I think Canada has done that very well. And I think there is an appetite to deal with the next problem, which is, I imagine, prison radicalization. And again, I have to stress, we can learn from the mistakes that our allies have made in the European Union, in the United States, to devise the tactics and policies we need now to get ahead of the problem. I think there's also, I have to say, I mean, in the open source literature, there are already individuals within Canada, Ali Deary, for instance, one of the Toronto 18 members, who have gone about trying to recruit others within prison, who have continued to identify as terrorists within prison. And so this is not something that is not going to happen in Canada. So I think there is certainly an appetite.
Alex, thank you so much for spending the time. A really interesting issue and a very important issue, and something that our politicians have to get on top of. Thank you again.
Thanks, Roy.
Dr. Alex Wilner joining us from Switzerland. And he wrote a report from the Center for Security Studies at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. Dr. Alex, if you want to look it up and have a read of this report, Alex Wilner, W-I-L-N-E-R, of the Center for Security Studies at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. When we come back, Joe Warmington, my good friend Joe, writing in today's Sun Papers, that Russell Williams received a personal welcome to Kingston Prison from the new warden. What's that about? Why would the warden be there to welcome Russell Williams? It's not process. It's not procedure. We'll talk to Joe when we come back.
You're listening to The Roy Green Show, all along the Chorus Radio Network.